Dracula's back, baby.
Dracula, unnecessary.
You know, it's funny, because I actually thought this movie had some fangs, but I think you, Brian, are more like, it's bleh.
Yes, it is. It make drunk on the story. I have fang over now. No, this is, like, seriously, Dracula Untold? How many fucking movies do we have to go through about Dracula's origin story before somebody in Hollywood realizes, we've been told. But we totally know this story.
To be fair, usually we see Dracula's origin story in a very, very, very short little, like, and this is previously on Dracula type sequence, you know. This is actually a whole movie about it that does, in fact, flesh it out and blood it out, I suppose.
There it is. I couldn't help yourself. You could not help yourself. You know what's funny about this accent? No one in movie has.
One guy
in all Transylvania sound like this.
There's actually a sequence towards the end where, like, you're like, okay, now he's in London proper, and he's talking to a British girl with a British accent, and you're like, wait a minute, you've got a British accent. What the fuck is going on?
He's had the British accent throughout the whole movie, and we're like,
she's like, you're not from here, are you? It's like, how can you tell? Anyway, this is the highly suspect review of Dracula Untold. And,
I love the question mark, even
untold?
As you say it in the title.
Only because I keep wanting to call it Unbound for some reason. I don't know why.
I, Dracula Unboundenstein.
I am Chris.
I'm Brian.
And this is our new guy, Michael.
Hey.
he flinches immediately. Oh,
instantly apprehensive of the two goons.
Oh my God, I'm on.
Welcome. Actually, before we get started, real quick, just say, Michael, you actually have your own website as well.
I do.
Which is called
DoubleFeatureShow.com.
Right, and you kind of review like older, already home release stuff.
Yeah, we pair two movies every week. Two movies that go together for some arbitrary rationale, and then we pat ourselves on the back for how well those two movies went together.
Like Inside and 3 Men and a Baby.
Yeah, perfect.
Out
of curiosity, what is the most one you were most like, hey, we're so clever that you put together?
Oh my God, it's been 6 years of this, so I don't know. Here's what I'll tell you. What we haven't done is Planet Terror and Death Proof.
Let's
put it that way. We did Kids and Happiness together, okay. Which we thought was really funny because of the title. We thought that it was a good titular play to get people to watch the movies.
There's like eight people listening that are going to understand why that's a horrible, horrible thing.
They both have a very strong theme of family issues.
They're both very touching.
Yeah, a lot of touching.
Okay. A lot of touching.
Just saying, pedophilia.
Bucket List and Schindler's List.
You just moved from
Chicago.
Chicago. Just moved to Austin, so sorry about us finding you first. So
it's okay.
Later you'll be like, oh shit, nobody told me those guys were assholes.
Were you afraid when you moved here that we would actually ban dancing, like in Footloose?
No, I wasn't. Okay. The only thing I figured coming here is that there'd be fewer people murdered every day. So far, so good. However, it's way hotter, so I'm not sure if it's worth the trade-off.
Well, that's the thing, is like there would be as many people murdered. But
nobody's going outside.
I'm staying in here where there's air conditioning. Anyway, back to the movie, Dracula.
Back to the Drac.
Untold. You're not going to do that through this entire review.
Of course I am.
Oh, God help us.
It is the only way I enjoy movie.
I'm pretty sure in keeping with the canon of the film, you have to end every line in that accent with master.
That's true.
So what about the scene in this where Bane, Christopher Walken, and Robert De Niro all hang out together?
You think playing to my impression strengths is your ally? You merely adopted my nonsense. I was born with it.
I love it.
Of course you do.
Anyway,
move on.
The Luke Evans, the guy who Hollywood is goddamn well determined to make a star.
Just tapping down our throats with a plunger.
With no success so far. In his defense, he's considerably less irritating than Shia LaBeouf. The last time, remember, they were trying so hard to shove somebody down our throats.
That's true.
He plays Dracula, but here he's a Vlad Tepes Dracula. He's not full out. You meet him, he's like this really sweet family man who rules a kingdom and has this penchant for impaling thousands and thousands.
Thank you. Like, that was the thing that bothered me from the get-go, is they try to make him such a sympathetic figure, and yet they've already shown us where he's, like, impaled thousands of people. Not just soldiers, mind you, but thousands of people on spikes. And it's like, yeah, but he repented, so now he's a good guy. And I'm like, no, he's still the guy that impaled thousands of people. It's hard for me to go Vlad!
In defense of him and of the the period of time, even the actual...
You're defending Vlad the Impaler.
Even the actual Vlad Tepes did it to, like, try and say, like, look, you know, you scare people off. They're too scared to attack you with doing gruesome shit like that. And in the context of this movie, he even says at one point, look, you burn to pieces and act like a total monster to one village and you save 10. Because everyone's like, yeah, I'm not going to fuck with that guy. And I bought it in the context of
I wish I could have.
And I think also the other thing is that it's a huge parallel to have him be Vlad the Impaler and go, but I don't want to be this later on, you know, for him to be like, listen, I've impaled 1,000 people, but this vampire thing.
That
might be a little too much for me.
I've got a stake in my humanity here.
What?
Wow.
What? Was that a thing?
That was kind of a thing.
Shit.
And then he meets Tyrion Lannister. No, I'm sorry. He meets Tywin Lannister in a cave, who is already a vampire. And here's the other thing about...
He's a Nosferatu.
He's Nosferatu.
He's Max Schreck living in this cave and just destroying people left and right. So the basic story revolves around the fact that...
Nobody hung up a sign.
Yeah, nobody hung up a sign. That the Turks are invading Europe, and one of the things that they do routinely is they go into Transylvania and say, hey, give us 1,000 of your children for our own version of the Agogi so that we can, you know, raise them up as soldiers. And traditionally, historically, they've been like, okay. And, you know, Vlad the Impaler's father was one of those people, so he was raised as a Turkish warrior, and that's where he learned to impale
people.
Which
is actually true.
Which, yeah, okay.
So far, so good.
So far, so good. And then when it comes time for the next emperor of the Turks, the next sultan of the Turks to go into Vlad's house and take his son.
Played, of course, by Dominic Cooper.
Yes.
Who, like, you know, it's like, we need a bad guy here. What's Mark Strong doing? Oh, he's busy? Let's get Dominic Cooper.
Absolutely. Diet Mark Strong. So he's like, you know what? I don't want to give you kids anymore, so I'm going to become a vampire to stop your army. Which is fine. And
it works.
And it works. But at the same time, this script has more holes in it than all the necks of all the vampire victims in the movie. And it was driving me crazy because I have always said this. When you establish your rules as a movie, I'm with you. I will go with whatever bullshit you feed me as long as you stick to it. And this movie absolutely positively does not stick to its own lore. And that's what drove me crazy. Like, I was having fun with, like, the battle sequences, and then they get to a part where it's like, oh, but now this happens. And I'm like, but it's not what you said.
The things you're talking about are definitely there to some extent. Although you named some stuff, I was like, yeah, I think you're nitpicking a little bit.
I'm not nitpicking at all.
You're nitpicking a movie called Dracula.
I just want shit to make sense.
They're wanting to mix, like, dark romantic fantasy, even in the sense of, like, calling in imagery from, like, Lord of the Rings and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Tons of that.
Very intentionally.
Tons of that.
With a superhero origin story, basically.
Dracula has a cave troll.
You know, I mean, like, if you're going to go, wait, Dracula's not like that. Okay, you fucked up from the beginning. Because first off, there's 8,000 interpretations of Dracula. And Bram Stoker's was even only, like, the one that's best known. There are other ones before
Yeah,
that.
I know. But I just want this version of the Dracula they're selling me to be... adhering to his own fucking rules.
No, I'm not criticizing you. I'm just saying, like, for the audiences out there, go, wait, I don't remember Dracula doing that. Well, relax. This is definitely supposed to be a more sympathetic, a more romantic Dracula, like Frank Langella with a sword, if you will.
Oh, yes, Frank.
You know, and I'm fine with that, as long as it's not all, I love you too, but I must make a deal with the devil to save my people. You know, that's fine. But let's see some killing. And that's the best thing about this movie is that it really delivers with, like, okay, there's a little bit of that, and then there's a lot of Vlad going, I got superpowers? I'm gonna fuck these guys up.
Well, and it's especially effective, too, being a period piece superhero origin story, because even when we see superhero movies in present day, the enemy guys always have some form of a comparable weapon.
Sure.
In this movie, they've got small knives, and he's punching the ground with millions of bats.
He's
so far away that there is literally not a weapon in existence at this time that is a formidable... Even if they knew 100% this guy's a vampire, if we could shoot him in the chest with a stake, that's not an option.
It does kind of... And this is one of the things that took me out of it a bit. It does kind of make you go... How the hell is Van Helsing even going to get close to this guy later on? Like, he's taking out Turk armies with, like, just like a, oh yeah, flick, you know? Yeah,
right.
And he's a super godlike powered badass and who is just discovering right. what he can do. Hell, he doesn't even summon wolves or fog or any of that shit yet. He's just like pretty much baddie, baddie, baddie. And it yeah. works. It looks cool as hell. Just like Turk armies being ravaged by like hammers of bats punching through
them. It's just, yeah, bat battles is definitely something sadly missing from all cinema.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping. Batman. I was right? hoping that would actually be in the last Hobbit movie, but it was not.
Oh, I thought you were going to say... Dark Knight Rises.
That would have been cool too. I would have accepted that. But you know what was weird is that it does actually have a lot of violence despite the fact that it's a PG-13 movie. And I will say there was never a point where I felt cheated, I guess, because that was one of my concerns going in, is that when you have a movie about Dracula's origin, about a guy who is called Vlad the fucking Impaler, son of the devil, son of the dragon, whatever, I just was like, a PG-13 movie about him is going to be sadly lacking. And they found a way, you know, through the sort of like clanging armor and throwing guys around to get around the PG-13 rating. Although I will say the Turks had another great weapon. Dracula does not have the best time management system
right.
because he's like, let's start marching right before sunset. And it's like, you know, if we waited until after sunset, you could be there at the front.
There's a point they're like, their troops are almost here. What are we going to do? It's going to be sunrise in like an hour or two. And I'm like, go do what you did before.
Right.
And take them all 30 seconds.
It's funny because I had the exact same reaction. They're kind of far away. If he can see them, he waits, what, another 45 minutes so he doesn't have to stand on the parapet earlier?
Right.
Is it cold out?
It's a little nippy. I don't like using my Dracula powers when it's this cold.
He doesn't want to quit killing cold turkey. Cold because they're Turkish.
The conceit here is that when after he's bit by Charles Dance, who's the Nosferatu, who's the Wikipedia says he's supposed to be Caligula, but I don't remember them actually saying that in the movie.
That was never mentioned.
That must have been an earlier draft of the script.
Make sense. If that were played more up, that would have been a really cool aspect of the movie.
They probably just have it because, like, you know, so if they decide to do a sequel, they can still have some period piece shit
that's
show that
true.
Guy's origin. But which actually, I admit, I'd be kind of interested.
They've
to
already
see.
Announced that it might happen.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it would be interesting. But like the big thing that Luke Evans has to be like all like, so he's not just killing people, he's got internal struggle, is that after he's bit, he's told, look, if you cannot drink anybody's blood for 3 days, you'll revert back to being human and no harm, no foul. You know, you got free powers and free being a badass for 3 days. But if you do it, then the guy who bit him gets to be, presumably loses all the downside of being a vampire.
Right. This is the major plot point that doesn't make any sense because he then, oh, you know what? I won't.
You can't.
Let's just say that at the end of the movie, something happens where if that were true, it would have drastically affected the ending for Luke Evans that it does not do. That is so vague and horrible. I'm sorry, but I'm trying not to be spoilery.
There's also things like, you know, like Luke, you know, the way he does it, it's like, all I have to do is turn somebody else into a vampire. And if they drink blood, then I get this awesome, you know, bonus. But then Luke Evans at one point goes around pretty much just giving out his blood.
Right.
That's what I was dancing around before Chris said the exact words.
I think it's a one-time curse. I think that once the curse is lifted, that's it. Merchandise is out. Patents off. You just make
Can
copies.
Like, is there a memo
copies.
That I could read about these rules?
It's. I mean,
there's a point that the later vampires are like Michael Keaton and Multiplicity.
Right,
like
exactly.
Dracula, where are we going today?
I like pizza. They haven't even invented pizza.
But yeah, the whole thing is he's really in love with his wife. That's the romance part played by Sarah Gadon and his kid, little kid. And he's like, I just want to protect them. I want to protect the kingdom. And, you know, I mean, that's another one. Things you're like, okay, it's supposed to have this overwhelming, can't stand it urge for blood. Well, the other vampire is confident enough. He's not going to be able to resist. And yet at worst, it seems like somebody trying to quit smoking.
Yeah, sure.
You know? He's like, oh,
he gets a little,
okay, I'm alright.
He gets a little irritated sometimes.
Yeah.
Has to go for a walk.
He gets hangry.
No,
yes.
So, I mean, I'm not saying this thing doesn't have its problems. It does. But what it does right, it actually does really right.
Absolutely.
And they make it fun to watch if you're willing to go, okay, that's stupid, but something cool is going to happen a second. Sure enough, something cool usually does happen another second. I found that more than not, this makes it worth your time. And they also set it up as the beginning of possibly a series of films, of course. Which is like, as long as they don't set it entirely modern day, I'm okay with that.
Yeah. I was telling you before the movie, I'm waiting for the day when we get like an Avengers-style movie of all these unnecessary Universal Monsters reboots.
Monster Squad.
Like, yeah, it's like the new Monster Squad, where it's like Dracula Untold, I, Frankenstein, the fucking Dragon Emperor, Jet Li.
Brendan Fraser.
You know, that's actually happening.
Right? No!
Universal signed a deal.
Well, they're rebooting. They're rebooting universe. All of them, though. There's not going to be any Jet Li. There's not going to be any.
No. It's not connected with those previous ones.
No Aaron Eckhart.
Yeah, the idea is like, oh, no, it's Dracula. But wait, who's that in the background? Hey, I'm the Wolfman. Okay,
who's that over there? Abbott and Costello.
Yeah, at the end of every movie, it's like, you know, the mummy shows up to try and like get them to join the Monster Squad, like Nick Fury.
What the fuck is Phyllis Diller doing?
He does have one
here?
Eye. That's a good catch.
Exactly.
I thought the one thing that I really liked about Dracula Untold is that it was the first vampire movie I've seen, especially in the United States, that wasn't sexy vampires, but also wasn't zombie vampires.
Right.
Speak for yourself. I thought Luke Evans was dreaming.
Well, that's different. I mean, nobody can deny that.
That wasn't being one or the other.
Right.
It was like, you've got a vampire who's sexy, but he's also
It felt like the vampires from actual canon, despite whatever plot holes there may have been. It felt like this violent, undead super being, as opposed to something like Stakeland, where it's an interchangeable zombie vampire thing.
Right. No, that's true.
Obviously there's Twilight.
On the other side of the coin, Twilight.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, like, the thing, say what you will about this, and as many criticisms there are about this as a dark romantic fantasy, it's better than pretty much any of the other films that have been made trying to do that in like the last 15 years or something. So it's heavily flawed, but hey,
it's a step in the right direction.
Hat off to at least stepping in the right direction. All it needed was somebody else to go through the script and go, that doesn't work, and that doesn't work, and that
doesn't
work.
Like, I appreciate that he's the son serves as an emotional, it ups the stakes, so to speak, for him.
Oh, come on.
But, was there something in the Dracula story about the son of Vlad the Impaler? Because they seem like they're setting up this really big, some kind of historical thing about him, and it's like he doesn't really serve much of a purpose other than to be an emotional objective for Luke Evans' character, and yet he's narrating the movie, and yet at the end of the movie, it's like there's this big kind of pomp and circumstance around
him. Were you the only one who was waiting for them to say, like his new name was going to be Van Helsing or
something.
I was totally expecting. I thought there was going to be some dramatic twist at the end where it turned out he was actually Dracula.
Right.
Something like that. Yeah, that's what I was waiting for, because that's what it looked like they were setting up.
Well, the thing is, like, I think there's the biggest flaw here, ultimately, is that most of the other characters in here have next to no development of any kind.
Totally.
Villain include, sub-villain included, who's nicknamed Bright Eyes.
Turn around, man.
Who's like, they're like, oh, he's the ultimate badass guy who keeps almost dying but coming back. And you're like, I don't think he had a line of dialogue. He just like, oh, we're prominently featuring him on screen, so he must be a badass.
I like, you know, at the end where he sees the Statue of Liberty, he's like, you blew it up! Damn you all to hell!
But, you know, I mean, like, Luke Evans, to his credit, he does, in fact, carry this film pretty darn well.
Yeah.
They force him to, because like you said, nobody else in the movie is really given anything to do. And the thing at the end, with Charles Dance's character, I'm like, why are you still around? Like, what? And then he has this line that he drops, which is a callback from the beginning, and it's like, those are just words. That has no bearing on anything that's happening right now.
But he's a Lannister. They don't die.
I'm not going to say anything, because then I'll spoil Game of Thrones and get double yelled at, but
he'll be back next season as well. Anyway.
I love that I keep dancing around spoilers, and then you just keep saying them directly.
Let's go final thoughts. Brian Salisbury, final thought.
I think there's a lot of fun to be had with this movie. It is definitely, however, not an unholy vampire film, because the script is full of holes. Yeah. And I think it's so flawed that it's flawed. I don't know. There's a lot of jokes I could make, but I won't, because I've already done that too much. So yeah, it's enjoyable enough, but it's definitely one of those movies that you just kind of have to And I know that it seems like I'm nitpicking, and I know that when you see a movie called Dracula Untold, it's like, what do you expect? But like I've long said, all I ever expect from a movie is if you lay down the ground rules, no matter how silly they are, I will go along with them as long as you do. And I feel like the biggest problem with this movie is that at several points, it breaks its own rules in favor of getting quickly to the resolution or quickly to the action. So with all of that in mind, I am going to give this movie 5.5 out of 10. Oh, let's see. Motherfuckers trying to ice skate uphill.
Ha! You know that's my favorite. Yeah, I know. Movie line I know. Ever. Okay, thank you.
You're Michael. Welcome.
You know, I think that the strength of Dracula Untold comes from the originality of the basic story. I totally agree it's flawed. But I think that what it sets out to do, which is really cool bat battles, and also tie in the Vlad the Impaler story to the Dracula story, I think the origin aspect is really one of the biggest strengths in the movie. It basically blows any version of Bram Stoker out of the water, in my opinion. Probably my favorite Dracula movie since Lugosi.
Wow.
I haven't seen all
There's
of them.
There's been a few between, you know.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I don't love them.
Not you mean specifically with Dracula, not necessarily.
Oh, I mean Dracula.
Okay.
Capital Dracula.
I gotta show you the Hammer collection though, is all I'm saying.
That's true.
And the Langella version.
Yeah, and the Langella version's pretty
good. Alright, so I have some learning. I'm just trying to be nice. I'm just trying to give this movie its due.
I liked him on Buffy the Vampire Slayer, but that's TV, so okay.
we're not covering that. I like the bat battles, man. That's always going to be my coming back.
They were just winging it when they wrote this.
Oh, my God.
What? Oh, was that a pun? Shit. I keep doing this by accident. Damn it.
That's so horrible.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. I should fight you on that, but I end up just caving. So just move on.
Oh, it's all right. God. You know how old I am. A little long in the tooth for this anyway, so yeah. I forget things.
We got to stop. He's trying to do his
No, I'm sorry. I'll give it, let's say, 7 out of 10. Bad puns. 7 out of 10 bad puns, at least. Lowest common denominator, I rounded down.
It's a vampire movie, so you're like kind of given like a, okay, you can make some puns, because you really almost have no choice.
Well, I love that he is so generous as to think we only made 10 bad puns in total.
Right.
I rounded, lowest common denominator.
I like
you
that.
Gotta shrink it.
I kind of with you, I think a little bit more, although I will, Michael, although I will agree, Brian, like the, you know, I am always irritated by a movie that sets up its own mythology and then breaks it. And I saw those things when it did it, and I just cringed every time, but then it would immediately do something I really liked. For the first time ever, I'm saying, wow, Luke Evans made a really solid and, like, kind of magnetic leading man.
So what you're saying is the movie, like, had a plot hole and then did this. Chris, look over here.
Shiny! But you know that to some extent that's true. If you're gonna show me a really good time and I'm gonna have fun, I can forgive a lot.
That's what spectacle is.
Yep.
And this is one of the films that actually did that for me. You know, I like the idea of the romantic vampire, and I like the idea of the brutal monster vampire, and this makes those two things go together pretty darn well.
Totally.
Much better than anybody else other than Frank Langella has.
True.
You know, we gotta give that props to our man there.
Absolutely.
It's pretty awesome. You go, Nixon. I feel like I want to give this a higher rating than I should, too, because I did have so much fun during it, but I know how broken it is at its heart. So I'm actually going to go with Michael here. I'm going to give it 7 out of 10 empty coffins.
All right.
Yeah. So
I don't know. I ran out of jokes.
If you have any more puns.
I would just be throwing the steak at you at this point.
Yeah, that's
the
third steak pun.
I know, man. What do you want from me? My last name is Salisbury.
I mean, you go like, sorry, I was coughing. I don't know. What? Nothing?
Nothing,
really?
Man.
Michael, help us?
No, I'm not doing that.